You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. Let's do this thing. Remember, Game Time Decisions now airs daily at 5 o'clock Eastern. Shout out to Billy the Doorman. I know Billy pays attention because Billy was unhappy with the move from 2 to 5. So shout out to Billy. Keep beating the book there, Billy. So we're going to help you beat the book today with some of the best guys in the business joining us on the program. Coach Nick is going to step up and in. Love Coach Nick. We're going to talk some NBA basketball with Coach Nick. The professor, Dave Malinsky, joins us straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Dave Malinsky joins us. We're going to talk NFL football with Dave. Gary and Thorne joins me in studio. We're going to talk some Miami Dolphin football. Miami Dolphins taking on the Buffalo Bills this week, coming off their big win against the New England Patriots last night. Who would have thought, man, that the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins would be a playoff impact football game? And it is. Suddenly, don't look now, but the Miami Dolphins have played themselves back into this thing in the AFC. The AFC and the NFC, it's both insane as far as the playoff push is concerned. There's so many teams that can still make it, and, you know, the musical chairs. You know, you look at the playoffs now, and they're not going to be that way when the season starts. But it's interesting because in the AFC, you got a lot of bad teams and just average teams that are battling for playoff spots. And in the NFC, man, you got some real good football teams. They're going to be on the outside looking in or potentially going on the road in week one. It's very, very reminiscent, isn't it, of what we see in the NBA. I don't know what it is. You know, you look at the NFL, you know, the NFC West, you know, you look at NHL. Eastern Conference hockey is like kids hockey next to the Western Conference. It just is. You know, it's a different style. I think the East has gotten better. You know, you look at the NBA, I don't know what it is. Yeah, it's just a strange phenomenon in pro sports leagues in which the Western conferences just seem to be better for one reason or another. We don't see the same correlation in college. When you look at the Pac-12, they're not a powerhouse. You know, they're not even they didn't even make the Final Four as far as college football is concerned. But I was asked not to do a 16-minute intro today. So you notice as I'm sitting now, I share more random thoughts. it's Random Thoughts with Gabriel Morenci. It could be could get me fired, actually. Random Thoughts. If you really want to get my random thoughts, we could go down this road. So yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know anything about the NFL, guys. I don't know. My picks were pretty good over the weekend. My picks were pretty bad last night. We hit the Jarvis Landry prop. We hit the long field goal prop. So yeah, Gary Thorne joins us. Coach Nick joins us. Dave Malinsky joins us. So just when I thought that I couldn't hate the New England Patriots anymore, well, I was wrong. I was wrong. I swear to God, these guys always freaking screw me, man. I hate the New England Patriots. And hate is a strong word, but I hate them. Like, it's to the point now where I really, really dislike. It's funny. I don't dislike everybody on the team. I don't like Tom Brady, and I'm a Michigan fan, so it bothers me. But, you know, Tom Brady, when he played at Michigan, wasn't wearing Uggs. You know what I'm saying? Tom Brady's not as cool as he used to be, you know? Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback ever. I'm going to give you that. Gronkowski's just a stupid jarhead. And pretty clearly, Gronkowski not being there mattered. So, you know what? Your cheap shot on my boy Trey Wright actually cost you guys a football game, because I think if Rob Gronkowski played in this football game, you probably win this game. And I stand by this. I hope you get injured next week when you come back, Gronk. I hope you get popped in the first quarter in Pittsburgh. And then you can say, you know, it was the craziest thing ever, man. I'm sorry to number 27, but, man, he was grabbing my jersey. I don't want to hate Gronk, but you know what? Screw you, Gronk. Just because you say you're sorry for cheap-shotting someone doesn't even make it go away. We'll be sorry after we cheap-shot you. That's the way I look at this. And then we'll be even, and then we can go on with our lives. But until we hurt you, it's not fair. That's just, you know, I don't know. I know there's a lot of young people probably watching and, you know, whatever, thinking, is he really saying this? Yes, I am really saying this. It is not fair until we hurt him. I'll be very disappointed in the Buffalo Bills if we don't cheap shot Rob Gronkowski. Like, I'm dead serious. Like, I don't even care how blatant, like, bad it is. Like, I wouldn't care if somebody walked up from behind him and, like, stabbed him in the calf with a knife. Like, I'd be cool with that. I'd say, well, now we're even. It's the way it works. Listen, I played in the NBA hooping up, man. Once I slapped this guy across the face so freaking hard, man, going for a basketball, big brother, he didn't like it very much. He broke my nose. Right on the spot. Bam! Popped it. I said after, we're even. I cheap shot at you, you cheap shot at me. Let's play ball. That's the way this stuff goes. It doesn't go like, yeah, I cheap shot you and then I'm sorry, and then, oh, if you do anything, then you're a goon. No. No. I don't know, man. The problem is many of you didn't watch the Philadelphia Flyers play hockey, right? You know, you guys didn't really, you know, you don't really get that. You know, like remember Team Canada and stuff, Summit Series? Somebody said, we got to take care of Karlamov. You know, Bobby Clark broke his leg. They said after, we didn't mean to break his leg. He said, you said to take care of him. I took care of him. Canada won, baby. Suck on that, you pinko commies. All right, anyways. The Seattle Patriots, I don't like them, okay? I swear to God, these guys have lost like 6 games in 3 years. I think I've been on every damn game that they've lost. But last week I did a video and I said the only sure thing in the National Football League is the Patriots get into the Super Bowl. Well, just discard anything I say. Anything I say about a team, my picks are good on a daily basis, but anything I say about a team's like future, go the opposite. Like if I tell you right now the Jacksonville Jaguars are a nasty young team that nobody wants to play, fade them. All right? I'm the kiss of death. I'm like a mobster that kisses you. It's over. I'm telling you, it's over. Oh, yeah. So who do you want me to curse? Oh, yeah, I cursed Carson Wentz earlier in the week. I tweeted that I'm sick of all these MVP tweets all the time, and he got hurt about 2 minutes later. So Carson Wentz is out. Aaron Rodgers is in. Don't look now, but the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins actually is like a playoff, like tiebreaker, like real football game. You know, the Cowboys and the Raiders game suddenly matters because the Cowboys have won a couple of games in a row. I don't know why the Chargers are favored against the Chiefs, man. Chiefs are going to beat them on Saturday night. I'm telling you this right now. Oh, the Chargers are trendy. I get it, but the Chargers beat Nate Peterman. They beat the Cleveland Browns. They beat the Dallas Cowboys when the Cowboys were at their worst and their lowest, and they beat a Washington Redskins team that quit a couple of weeks ago. Chiefs are going to win, which means Chargers win by 17. Like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing anymore, but I'll tell you what, as bad as the NFL season has been, looks like they saved the best for last. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyrotor.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are now on daily at 5 o'clock Eastern. One thing that hasn't changed, the Professor Dave Malinsky joins us every Tuesday. You can read his daily column on the front page of sportsbookreview.com. You can also find some great books over at Sportsbook Review and great reviews. Dave Malinsky, a man that I call the professor, joins us. Let's cut the small talk because there's so many things I want to talk to with Dave about. Dave, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
Pretty good, Gabe. We're getting busy. The bowls are finally wrapping up this week. One of the most insane cycles of our entire year, from the first bowls on Saturday through those playoffs. You know, the first Monday in January this year, Gabe, it's going to be pretty intense.
Yeah, I'd say pretty much through to the Super Bowl, right? I mean, it eases up after the national championship game on that Monday night. Then you're into the NFL playoffs. But you're right. This is the home stretch right now. You know, we talk about seasons and teams and, you know, where they are in flat spots and tough spots, etc. But if you're a better, This is crunch time now, isn't it, Dave? With the bowls and with the NFL playoffs coming up into the Super Bowl, what you do now, you know, will pretty much define your season. You might have had a big run in September or something, but if you lost it by now, it doesn't matter. You know, there's a reason, whether right or wrong, Dave, there's a reason why so many people put so much money on the Super Bowl. They're looking for the bailout. Like, this is crunch time now, starting with the bowls.
Oh, you know where it gets so difficult, and I sympathize with everybody out there that bets, that's doing it part-time, not full-time. When the holidays creep in, people get busier in other parts of their life. But there are also now more games on television. And I see people with such sloppy habits. They force bets on bad games. They get distracted by other things. These next couple weeks can actually be a nightmare for a lot of people. So take a deep breath. Get your stuff under control, folks. Don't make decisions when you're too busy. And don't bet all of these lousy bowl games just because they're on television, because a lot of these bad games turn into coin flips.
You know, Dave, it's one of the benefits, and I do have a dark sense of humor, but it's one of the benefits of most of my loved ones being gone in a better place right now is I'm alone now. So, you know, it's one of these deals where, yeah, you know, sometimes it kind of sucks, but as you stated, on Christmas Eve, when everyone else is worried and driving in the snow, going to meet somebody, I got to go hang around some parents that don't like me and all this other type of stuff. I could be focused in on that Hawaii Bowl, Dave. It is what it is, but it's the life I lead, right?
You know, it's a big transition for me because my Christmases after the last 30 years were on the East Coast. My entire family is now in the Pacific time zone. I used to not have to worry about the Hawaii Bowl because it started so late Eastern time, I didn't care. Now it's sort of there staring you in the face.
Remember, I am the guy though, Dave, and I think I told you the story. I am the guy who in the old days, pre-internet days, guys used to actually have to call your bet into the bookie. It was Christmas morning and I called the bookie, Dave, at like 10 a.m. on Christmas morning, and I could literally hear the kids and his family opening up presents in the background. Like, I could hear, thanks, Daddy, and, like, paper ripping. And I had to get a bet in on the blue-gray game. Like, blue-gray game was at noon. And I told him, I said, yeah, listen, man. I said, I feel real bad here. I know this is kind of, you know, awkward. I'm calling you Christmas morning. And the guy told me, Morenci, it's my job. Who do you like today? What do you want?
As a bookmaker should be.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, from a nostalgia standpoint, we miss the blue-gray game because what people might not appreciate is back when it was played, you had less than half the number of bowl games we have now.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of really good players that were available because all these teams weren't there. You couldn't have it anymore because there aren't enough guys left over. Blue-gray was actually a pretty good, and it was a competitive game because it was clearly set. This is North against South. There was a regional aspect that certainly mattered. Doesn't matter anymore.
And it mattered, too, in a sense. The blue-gray game was cool. You know, it was almost like the Senior Bowl before the Senior Bowl, right? I mean, there's a lot of great players. Now you have so many of the different all-star games and the NFLPA all-star game, et cetera, and college games. It's a little different. But nevertheless, Dave, let's jump in and talk some National Football League football here. So you and I spoke during the game. Ultimately, in the end, the Miami Dolphins end up holding on. And, you know, right now, that loss last night all but assures the Pittsburgh Steelers home field advantage through the AFC playoffs if they're able to beat the New England Patriots this week. How much of an impact will Rob Gronkowski's return have on this game? And it's interesting. I brought it up on the intro. You know, Pittsburgh Steelers keep winning games, Dave, but, you know, 10-point favorites against the Colts, they won by 3. 14-point favorites against the Packers, they win by 3. 5-point favorites against the Bengals, they win by 3. 6.5-point favorites against the Baltimore Ravens, they win by 2. Are you impressed? Long story short, are you impressed with the Pittsburgh Steelers right now?
You can't be with the defense. Since Joe Hayden went down with an injury, they have allowed more pass plays of more than 20 yards than any other team. And here's what you got to appreciate from the box score on Sunday. And these are the little things you need to look at. Not only did Joe Flacco have 5 completions of 20 yards or more, which is real hard for him, there were 81 penalty yards just against the Steelers secondary alone. That is a struggling day. Now, Joe Hayden is going to return to practice this week. They don't know if he's going to be well enough to play. They're not only down Ryan Shazier at linebacker, but Tyler Matakevich, his backup, isn't back at practice yet. That is a bad defense right now, and it's not easy stopping the Patriots with a bad defense. But here's your advantage. Very rare in the NFL for teams to play 3 straight road games. Extraordinarily rare for 3 straight road games, and the last game comes off of a Monday night. So it is set up fairly well for the Steelers. Here's what's also important, though, Gabe. If the Patriots lose, it's not that they don't have the home field over the Steelers in the playoffs anymore. Patriots could fall all the way to the third seed.
Yep.
That means playing the first week instead of having a bye and possibly having to win at Jacksonville and at Pittsburgh both. That's a much tougher path.
And it's funny, you never thought we'd be saying the Jacksonville Jaguars, but you're right. If you're looking at this right now, let's just say that the New England Patriots lose this game. They're tied with the Jacksonville Jaguars suddenly. And the Jags have a very winnable game. I don't know if the Jags are going to cover the double-digit points, but they don't need to cover the points to move up in the NFL standings. This isn't college. There's no voting, right?
Yeah, keep in mind, if they're tied, the Jaguars win the tiebreaker over the Patriots right now.
Wow. And, yeah, the Jags are a nasty team. They remind me of they're kind of a cross between the Seahawks of years ago and the Ravens of years ago. So what's crazy right now is the Miami Dolphins and the Buffalo Bill game, Dave, is suddenly a playoff game. Like, this is for real. Like, the Bills' playoff chances are real. And, you know, the Miami Dolphins, who I gave up on and just treated like another clown franchise. I mean, they got outscored like 112-45 or something like that in three consecutive primetime games. They seem to have quit and just not cared. You know, they beat the Broncos last week. Okay, it's sort of like the Broncos beating the Jets this week. But nice win for them. And then, boom, suddenly they go into Buffalo with all intent purposes here. Dave, playing for a playoff spot, actually. You brought this up last night, but it's come to fruition right now.
Of course, we all knew back in August that there'd be a potential playoff game in December with Jay Cutler against Joe Webb.
Yeah.
You know, that was just the natural.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, yeah. We knew the Jags would be 9-4. I don't know. I think Tyrod Taylor plays.
Okay.
Tyrod Taylor's going to play. That lets, you know, I know it's out there right now. Listen, Peterman's in a concussion protocol. Tyrod Taylor was close to playing. He's not practicing right now. It's still early in the week. Today's their off day anyways. Yet, you know, Joe Webb would be the quarterback. And Logan Thomas, former Va Tech quarterback, who's now a tight end with us, would suddenly become the backup, which would be the end of the world type of stuff. Yet the quote was, Sean McDermott doesn't think it'll get to that. It's not basically going to get to that. Tyrod Taylor should be the quarterback, Dave.
Well, and if ever there was a time where Buffalo fans wanted the same exact weather for this week. Now, Colts actually held up okay for a dome team last Sunday. They competed okay. I couldn't see Miami handling even a cold day. It doesn't have to be anywhere near last Sunday circumstances. But if you can get a cold day up there, that's a big advantage against a warm weather team, especially with Miami having to come down off that Monday win into a short practice week.
All right. It's going to be cold. 30 degrees, cloudy. I don't see snow. I don't, it's not going to be a blizzard or anything, but it is going to be freezing, Dave.
Well, 30 and cloudy, though. When you hear cloudy itself, that means that there is some moisture in that air.
Yeah, participation 20%. 20% participation, 13-mile-an-hour winds, and that's Buffalo. I'm looking at a Buffalo radar here right now report. You know, the fact is, Ralph Wilson Stadium or New Era Field is not in Buffalo. It's in the sticks. It's like there's nothing around it, Dave. All right? I've been there. There's like farms and stuff literally around. There's nothing there. So it's windy as hell, okay? So it's even colder and windier and darker. There's something like there's a black cloud over that stadium. I've never seen the sunshine once there, even in the summer. All right. It doesn't. It's like a lie. You think it's the sun, but it's not. So, yeah, interesting football game. Interesting game. No number right now for this. We do have a number for the Eagles. And I know that you put some work in looking at Nick Foles numbers here, Dave. So, yeah, Nick Foles is 20-17 as a starting quarterback. He lit it up with Philadelphia before with Chip Kelly. And, you know, so he's been in this exact same scenario before replacing a quarterback. You know, what can you tell us about Nick Foles? What did your analysis come up with?
Yeah, here's the difficulty. Is that brilliant year, and 2013 was brilliant. Foles had the best passer rating of any quarterback in the last 5 years that season. But so much of that was tied to Kelly's offense being brand new, and NFL defenses not being ready for it. So here's what we did. We separated that season from the rest of Nick Foles' career. His passer rating for all other games outside of 2013, it's 78.0. Now, if you want to set the perspective, what does 78.0 mean? There just happen to be two quarterbacks this year who are dead on that number, Brett Hundley and Joe Flacco. So the 2017 version of Hundley and Flacco is who Foles has been outside of that one magical season.
So is he in between that, Dave? So can we take the numbers of what he did and take his average numbers and sort of meet in between? Wouldn't you say he'd be a little bit better because of the talent that he has around him right now?
That's the key, is this is not a bad team to fit in with right now. The Eagles are deep at running back, deep at receiver and tight end. They've got pretty good schemes. If he's just a little below average, you're still pretty good with the rest of that offense. You'll take the other 10 positions. So I think he will be okay until we get to January. But are you going to be able to win playoff games with him? That becomes the difficulty.
Dave, I look at the number with the Chargers and the Chiefs, and it's come down a little bit, but I was shocked to see the Chargers open up as road favorites in this game at 2, down to 1.5 right now. You know, Kansas City beat them earlier in the year in Los Angeles when nobody was going to the games. The Chargers are on a 4-game win streak. They beat Nate Peterman and the Bills when McDermott, you know, stupidly benched Tyrod Taylor. They beat the Dallas Cowboys Thanksgiving, Cleveland Browns, Washington Redskins. They got the Cowboys at their weakest. They got Nate Peterman in his first ever NFL career start. They got the Cleveland Browns that couldn't pull away from the Browns. And they got a Redskins team that looks like they've tapped out and quit, for the last couple of weeks. I think they're overreacting. I think the Chargers are a trendy team. The media has been pushing them as this dark horse can make the playoffs. You know, and one of the reasons that they pushed them was because of their schedule. But the Chiefs, we look at, it's been 2 weeks in a row. It's pretty clear that the Matt Nagy changes helped this offense, Dave. I mean, you had the explosion of New York, and then once again, an efficient offense against the Raiders last week. What do you think about Matt Nagy calling the plays right now for the Chiefs?
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised that the markets didn't respect Kansas City's Sunday win more than they did, because that was a complete thump into the fourth quarter, you know, until Oakland got a little bit through the back door. Somehow the markets ignored that. Well, it was a big game for both the offense and the defense. The defense played well without Marcus Peters. And sometimes when that happens, when one of your best players gets that slap in the face that, hey, pal, we played good without you, that guy will come back and play even better. So I don't think the Chargers are supposed to be favored here. As you said, there's not much, not only in the recent wins, but go back all season, and there isn't a win of significance anywhere in that Charger resume. So, no, this price is in the wrong range.
All right, Dave, we've got about 1 minute here. So just quickly on the way out here, we got the Michigan Wolverines and the Texas Longhorns. Michigan's played a really tough non-conference schedule. You know, at North Carolina, hosted UCLA over the weekend. A big comeback win, but they didn't play great. They're getting 5 right now. Total 129.5. I feel that the total is a little low here. I like the over.
I like the over, and I'm inclined to Texas just a little bit. There's one thing missing for Michigan. They're a good, fluid basketball team, but there's a toughness missing. We saw that at North Carolina, at Ohio State, when those teams went on big runs against them, and they didn't counter well. I think Texas physically tougher. Shaka Smart's teams win the scraps to the loose balls. Maybe Texas and over. The way to go tonight.
Dave, it's always a pleasure. We encourage people to read Dave's column over at sportsbookreview.com. It's a great website with great information, including Dave's great daily column, Vegas Point Blank, right there on the front page. Thanks for joining us, Dave.
Hey, good luck, everybody.
There's Dave Malinsky with his great stuff, as always, with Dave. We take a quick break. Coach Nick coming up next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. I'm fired up, man, to talk some basketball with Coach Nick. Love talking with Coach Nick. He's a busy man, so you know, we call him every couple of weeks because he's got a lot of stuff going on. But I love following him on Twitter, and I enjoy his breakdowns. You can follow him on Twitter at B-Ball Breakdown and, of course, the YouTube channel. Subscribe. It's a massive hit. B-Ball Breakdown over at YouTube. Coach Nick, happy holidays. Coach, always a pleasure, man. How you doing?
I'm good. Happy holidays to you. I hope it's you're keeping somewhat warm there.
Yeah, I'm all right. My picks are so hot, so I'm sweating. Yeah, I'm sweating winners out here, Coach.
All right.
At least on the hardwood. But no, I'm enjoying the NBA season so far. I look forward to the Christmas Day games, sort of the unofficial start to the NBA season. And I know that the players like to step up and play well on Christmas. So I look forward to that. But you know what? We're pretty much officially 2 months in right now, actually. We're approaching mid-December, and they started off in mid-October right now. So I ask you for a little mini State of the Union address right now. Coach, your thoughts on the first 2 months of play in the NBA season?
Well, there's some real big surprises, and I think no one would have said that the Pacers would be doing so well, and Oladipo is just slaying it. Most improved player without a doubt at this point in the season, so that's interesting. And on the flip side, OKC is not in the playoffs as of today, and that's a real shocker considering they added two All-Stars to go along with Russ, and that's a real interesting thing. The odds are kind of against them to make the playoffs. They're already, you know, 31% through the season, and that's a tough road to try and get back into it.
I thought it was kind of a weird fit. I didn't think, you know, I wasn't buying in and, oh, my God, they're contenders right now. I thought there were going to be some chemistry issues with George, and not just Melo, but with George and with Westbrook. Westbrook's such a unique player. You know, I wondered whether those, you know, whether PG was the right guy, the right fit there now with Melo, but they're struggling even more so than I thought. I didn't think they'd be a sub-500 team. I just didn't think they would be a great team. Like, are they going to get better? Like, what's the issue here with Oklahoma? What is the problem when you look at these guys play? How come they're struggling?
Well, the thing with Paul George is he has such a varied offensive game, and he should be able to fit in any team anywhere in the way he plays defense as well. So that's a real shame that he's having trouble fitting in, although he's shooting the three ball really well. Melo continues to isolate as much as he always has, and he just is terrible at it, and they need to stop him from doing that. In fact, they'd probably be better off starting Patrick Patterson and then bringing Melo in off the bench to go against the second units. And then Russ is just a guy who doesn't adjust his game, doesn't really know how to quote-unquote run a team. And so that's why these things aren't really functioning together with the position he's playing, the point guard. So it's just a kind of a mess, and they haven't been able to get any kind of cohesion. Now, their defense is ranked second overall in the NBA. So that's a thing that doesn't have anything to do with what's the problem here. It's simply the offense, and it's been pretty bad.
All right, so the Houston Rockets 10-game win streak is their longest since they did a franchise record 22 in 2008. They're actually 16-1 in their last 17 games. Are you impressed by this, or is this just regular season Rocket play? And can they basically outscore everybody to win a championship? Are you buying what the Rockets are selling right now, or is this just sort of they're kicking the crap out of teams in a regular season and putting up 130 a night?
I mean, I think it's a mixture of both, but I'm definitely buying. Like, they're the only team right now, even though the Cavaliers are on the streak, that they're the only team in my mind that can really offer something against the Warriors, particularly because, yes, they can score with them. And at some point, no matter how good your defense is against the Warriors, you've got to put the ball in the bucket, and these guys are doing it. I got a three-man lineup for you that they're slowly starting to put in. When they get Chris Paul, James Harden, and Eric Gordon out there together, the net rating is plus 57, and a very small sample size, but that's because Chris Paul is injured. I'm telling you, if they start to play those three guys together in a three-guard lineup, they'll have, you know, 6, 7, 8 minutes of a game where they can just destroy teams, and that's going to be a real problem for everybody else in the league.
A lot of idiots out there said Chris Paul wasn't going to fit in, and then when Chris Paul got hurt, they said, oh, look, they're better off without him. And I should note, I'm one of those idiots. So, and you know, I wasn't, like, burying Chris Paul, but I wondered how Chris Paul fits in here. And then, you know, we saw, you know, everyone judges right away, right? Oh, look, the first game, oh, I told you he doesn't fit. How is he going to fit with Harden? And no, it's not going to work. Well, I guess it is. They're 10-0. And I'm watching Rocket games, and Chris Paul's having a fun time, and he's smooth. He's hitting three-point shots. So I guess he is fitting in after all, Coach.
Oh, yeah. And he's doing everything they wanted him to do, which was take pressure off of Harden, let him take some breaks on offense. By the way, their offense, their defense is seventh in the NBA as well. That's a top 10 defense. They're well on their way to be having to be, you know, one of the favorites to win the title, and it's been working out really well. And that game last night against the Pelicans was crazy, and you just kind of had a sense they were just simply going to take control of that game eventually, even though the Pelicans were on fire. And you can just, they have the confidence, they're playing like they're champions, and I can't wait to watch when they go against the Warriors next.
Man, it was crazy. I saw Ryan Anderson. Man, it was one of the nicest plays ever. And I like Ryan Anderson, but it's just funny, you know, when things are going well, everyone just starts playing better, I guess. You've been a coach, right? So, I swear, Anderson got a rebound and did, like, this little slick, like, reverse layup. I think of him as sort of like a three-point ball guy, but it's like, wow, that was really skilled. I wish I could just, you know, I wish we had the rights to show the replay, the highlight of it. We don't. All right, so, Harden's passing the ball, 14 assists in the first half, ties the franchise record for assists in the first half against the Pelicans. So, which leads me into the Spurs right now. They're on a four-game win streak. They've won 8 of their last 10 basketball games, and they're hoping to get Kawhi Leonard back tonight. Your take on the Spurs report card.
Oh, I can't wait to see Kawhi plug himself back in and do really well, because they're playing just like they normally do. Excuse me. And they have a real team thing going on here. In the last six games, or five games, they've got about five or six guys averaging double figures. So it's a really exciting time for the Spurs, because they've been playing really well. And I have no doubt that Kawhi can just plug himself back in and not force the issue yet to kind of get himself under, get his feet wet a little bit. And what he brings to the table on the defensive end as well means that they're going to, again, be in the conversation on the top of the West. Very exciting stuff.
Golden State Warriors, it's strange. I watch the Warriors play pretty much every game, and I don't know, it doesn't seem like they're really even trying, yet here they are. They still win every night, you know what I mean? Like, they really are that team that can flip the switch, yet what do you see from this team, or is it hard to grade them because of all the injuries that they've had? They really haven't had everybody on the floor together all that much this year.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, their system is such a great, it's ball movement, it's motion, so guys are going to be able to get plugged in there. Like, Omri Caspi can come in there and cut and get layups and shoot threes. Nick Young is doing nicely in a role like that. David West can come in and just do his thing. So they're so deep. I mean, they're bringing in Jordan Bell, and he looks like a fourth-year veteran right now, just playing that position that Draymond kind of plays, who's also been out a little bit. And so then you throw in the mix Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston and these other guys like that, and it's like they have a beautiful balance of young and veteran. They got a great system with Steve Kerr in there. So, they can rely on that, and they can just bide their time no matter what happens with the other team as they go on a run. They know they're going to be able to get a couple stops, nail some shots, and then Kevin Durant has just been incredible since Steph has been out. He's averaging 33 a game, 10 boards, and 7 assists in those three games. So he's just doing everything.
Now, if my memory serves me correctly, I believe the Chicago Bulls drafted Jordan Bell and basically handed him to the Golden State Warriors, didn't they?
I think they sold the pick before they actually made the pick.
Okay. And so they helped them out financially. Yeah. I'm just stating, like, I remember at the time stating, why would you help them? Like, you know, like, why help these guys? If they got cap problems, screw them. You know, don't help them out. And then they get a player like Jordan Bell, that if you're one of these other lesser teams, you really missed out on this kid, didn't you? I mean, the kid went late in the second round.
Oh, well, hey, by the way, the Warriors did almost the same thing for Patrick McCaw as well the year before. So there's no question that they're benefiting from, like, just stealing from other teams. And Jordan Bell, absolutely. And by the way, if the Warriors decide they don't want to pay Draymond Green a huge contract when the one that comes up now is finished, they could just plug Jordan Bell in there in the next year or two and not miss a beat. He's that good, and he's even a better athlete. So they really lucked. I don't know if we want to call it lucked out. They must have known. But, man, a lot of other teams are kicking themselves pretty hard.
Yeah, they should be. They should be. It's funny. It's almost like the New England Patriots, right? Smart teams just do smart things and get good players somehow. And bad teams seem to do bad things and do stupid things over and over. All right. Speaking of stupid things, let's bring in the Ball Brothers right now. So this one surprises me a little bit. Lithuania, you know, seems like a strange fit for them. And not to discount this, but I'll be honest with you, Coach. I give them 4 to 6 weeks. Now, I know they're not reporting until January, so the clock doesn't start until they get there. But how are they going to fit in Lithuania? Are they going to like it? Is there, you know, I just don't see this as the right country and the right fit for them to be going to play. And I don't know if you can be a bunch of high schoolers and step on the court and play pro ball in the Lithuanian League. What's your take on this and how LeVar is handling his kids? And I don't want to talk about as a parent, but seems to be quite a circus right now. You know.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. The only reason why they're going there is because the UCLA one, which I'm always – I get their names mixed up. Which one's the guy in UCLA?
LiAngelo
gets, you know, arrested in China, and then he's suspended basically indefinitely from the team. So that's the only reason why he's bringing him over there. If he's playing at UCLA right now and not getting into trouble before, then this probably wasn't happening. So what does that say? It just tells your kid, oh, don't worry about getting in trouble, whatever. We're just going to move on to the next situation, and we're going to keep running away from the issues and the problems and just trying to, like, solve them that way. Now, I never thought he was really that great. He's sort of stuck in between as a sort of a power forward game, although he can shoot the three, but he's a little bit too small and too slow. So I didn't think he was going to do that well at Division One, and certainly not, you know, getting to the NBA. And the younger one is a little too cool for school and doesn't really give out. And we're seeing it a little bit with Lonzo in the NBA, who's never really had to deal with any kind of adversity, and he doesn't really know what to do. And he's going to get it, and he'll learn that, but it's kind of late by 19 to have to, for the first time in your life, discover what it's like to go through some hardships. So anyway, that's the issue. Now, as far as the Lithuanian League, I think it's a second-tier league, so it's you know, probably similar to Division One. You know, a mid-major Division One. Can they do okay there? Probably, but I don't know how they're going to adjust. It's going to be a really big difference in the way the lifestyle is, and the language and everything. And the coach doesn't speak English.
Yeah, and people in Lithuania aren't impressed by the big baller brand. They really won't care. And another thing is, yeah, they might not be great. It's like you said, second division. You're not playing against Jonas Valanciunas, but you're still playing against men. You know what I mean? It's still going to be tall Lithuanian dudes that pop threes. And, you know, the Lithuanians can ball. All right, we only got 1 minute left, unfortunately. I wanted to give some love to Donovan Mitchell, but well, that'll have to wait. But we give you some love, Don, and we see you. We see what you're doing here. But Lakers and Knicks tonight, you know, normally it sounds sexy, world's most famous arena. But it seems like the 76ers and the T-Wolves will be a fun game to keep our eye on tonight. Coach, what's your take on this game with the Sixers and the Wolves tonight?
Well, the big frustration, because we have game time decisions for Embiid and Covington. So it's like, who knows what's going to happen? Those fantasy people are probably kicking themselves right now, because you never know. Without them, then they ain't going to win. But with them, they should. So it's one of those questions where we got to wait until Brett Brown tells us what the heck he's going to do.
Yeah, that's the thing. I like, listen, I love Embiid. The guy's a monster. It really is crazy. If you haven't seen this guy really play, like, it's like, wow.
Hall of Fame.
It's wow. Like, yeah, he's got moves, like, you know, the beast under. He's like a Shaquille O'Neal or something. It hits threes. I don't know. Like, he does everything.
Yeah.
It's really crazy. We got to get out of here. But I like what Andre Drummond told him. Hey, kid, how about you play back-to-back games, you know, for a year or two and then talk? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I like what Drummond said.
Maybe they'll let him.
Yeah, exactly. That's what Philly fans always tell me. It's not him or Etsy. It's the coach. Nick, you're the best. It's always a pleasure. Thanks for joining me, Coach.
You got it.
There's Coach Nick with us. Always love talking ball with him, man. Time just flies. Gary and Thorne joins me in studio next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We welcome Gary and Thorne into the studio as Garen's rocking his Dolphins gear. Earlier in the year, Garen's like, oh, we're terrible. I said, you guys
still terrible.
I said, you don't completely. He's like, no, we got no chance. Hey, look at them now, beat the Pats. But, you know, if you're not going to strut right now.
There's very few opportunities to wear the amount of Dolphins gear.
Did you stick
it
to Reed at all, our boy Reed?
Reed had a rough one because he lost two different survivors. He lost a fantasy playoff game because Jarvis Landry scored like 19 points. Like, he really had a rough go.
The thing with our boy Reed is, too. Reed always just sort of looks like his cat or his dog just died.
Yeah, you don't want to push
him
too far.
He already looks sad and depressed all the time already.
Yeah.
So now on top, I know, out of all Patriot fans, it's hard to troll him, isn't
it? Well, I told him I was hoping yesterday that Tom Brady died on the field, and he did not take that well. So I figured I better not push more buttons.
Yeah, you and I, you know, we might not have a million things in common, but that's something that we do.
Yeah.
Is you're going to like it. What I said earlier in the program, that I have no problem if somebody on the Buffalo Bills takes out a knife and stabs Ron Gronkowski in the calf. Like, just walks up behind him, says, now we're even for Trey White.
Yeah.
It's pretty harsh.
I could see that.
I could see why our ratings aren't big in Boston, because Mike Cardano once came on my show and said he hopes that Tom Brady gets both legs broken during a game.
That might be better, because then he has to suffer a little bit. I don't know. I mean, look.
I don't cheer for injury, Gary, but Rob Gronkowski cheap shotted my boy.
This is a problem in sports in general, and I think this happened a lot this week with the Giancarlo Stanton thing for the Yankees. Now you've got these Yankees fans coming out like, oh, you guys wouldn't be saying this is a terrible trade if it was to your team. Like, it's just because it's the Yankees. Blah, blah, and they're all defensive, and they're all on their heels because people are starting to hate them again. Last season, everyone was like, oh, this is kind of a fun Yankees team.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You got 1 year of that. You're the Yankees again.
Oh, you're right back to
but
it.
But embrace
yeah.
the hate. Like, why do you care if I hate you? I only hate you if you're good.
Yeah,
I don't hate the Jets.
It's
you
true.
Know what I mean? Like,
and you hate the Red Sox more than the Yankees?
Yeah, I do.
But at the same point in time, you know, you're an AL East guy, so you're right. And the Yankees are always that evil empire and all that other crap. Last year, they weren't. They were young
they
guys.
They were likable.
There you got Judge,
and
you got Sanchez,
like,
you know what I mean?
As a Jays fan, very rarely are they good enough to be hated. I loved it. I used to read Texas Ranger game recaps when the Jays would beat them, especially after the two playoff series. And I remember one specifically was
well,
titled.
The Rangers now too.
Well, no, the Rangers hate us. They hate the Jays, and it's great because there was one titled like, you know, sports fans, sometimes it doesn't work out like the movies. Sometimes the bad guys win. And I was like, oh, I love it. I'm eating
guys.
This up with a spoon. Glad Texas Ranger fans hate the Jays.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, no, it's good. You got to be hated by somebody.
Yeah,
right?
it's good
you're
to be hated because if you're hated, you're relevant.
Yeah, you know, it's funny too. I said the same thing when Ohio State sucked and Michigan were good. I didn't like it.
Yeah,
and I didn't,
you want to hate
know,
Ohio
funny?
State?
You're a Notre
yeah.
Dame fan. When you guys were struggling, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
But part of me,
you need to have them to
hate. I was like, ah, yeah, good. Then I was like, man. Then I realized we're only as good as our rival.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if Notre Dame's like our peer and Ohio State are our peers and everyone's laughing at them, then what does that mean about us?
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. You need someone there to hate. I mean,
you notice, though, in the AFC East, I used to really hate the Dolphins.
Yeah. I used to hate the Bills.
I used to hate the
Jets.
It
doesn't matter anymore.
You notice how we've all almost united where it's like, no, you guys are all right. It's the Patriots. We all like.
Yeah.
I have no problem. I was hanging out with Jet fans arm in arm all drunk. I
sure.
got a Bills jersey
yeah.
on at the game. Years ago would have been, screw you. Screw you, Fireman Ed.
Exactly. Yeah. I was at a Bills game 2 years ago, and I remember people giving me flack for wearing a Dolphins jersey, and I turned around like, let's just hate Tom Brady together. And they're like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like.
I was at the Bills game last year when the Dolphins – they didn't technically clinch the playoff berth when they beat the Bills last year in Week 16, but they, like, 99.9% had clinched it. I had Bills fans coming up to me like, hey, man, good for you. Enjoy the play. Like, enjoy the playoffs
yeah,
for us.
It's totally changed.
You know, it's different. We all just hate
yeah,
the Patriots.
It's changed. You're right. And we'll see. Maybe hopefully one day we'll all hate each other again.
That'd be great. That would be great.
Hopefully, exactly. Ah, screw Miami. They're 14-2 every year. I hate that team. You never. People think, oh, it'll never happen. Listen, I'm old enough. I remember the Patriots used to suck, all right?
Yeah.
Stadium was half empty. Yeah, they used to suck. They're not going to be great forever. This stuff goes in waves. So we've only got about 3 or 4 minutes left here. So here are the Miami Dolphins right now, 7-6, clearly in the playoffs.
6-7.
Playing a Buffalo Bills, yeah. 7-6 versus 6-7. Miami wins, they're 7-7. Buffalo wins, they're 8-6. This is
yeah.
getting real for both teams right now. I'm shocked that Miami have played themselves back into this thing.
It's surprising.
And I can't state that. They can't beat Buffalo this week. Although, I tell you what, there's no line on the game right now, but I do believe that Tyrod Taylor will play, Gary.
I think Taylor plays, and that's big. I mean, regardless of what
you
feel
freezing,
as a Bills fan,
so
like
it's 30
it's
degrees
be cold.
Minus one.
This is going to come down to, not to the extent the snow game came down to this week or last week, but this is going to come down to who can run the football. And for as good as Kenyon Drake has looked the last two games, I have serious concerns about that Dolphin offensive line. Like, Pro Football Focus goes through and ranks every single player based upon league averages and every Dolphins offensive lineman. Like, you watch the broadcast, and, like, John Gruden's going to tell you Mike Pouncey's still one of the best centers in the league. Pouncey's like three hip surgeries removed from being a great center. Like they have no.
This could
one
be
left
a low-scoring game, Garen. Wind, Buffalo, these defenses.
It's supposed to snow again, and look, like Kenyon Drake's been making a lot of the highlight reels. But you think Kenyon Drake's going to pull off a 360 backfield spin move in the snow?
No, well, LeSean McCoy is a good snow runner.
I think McCoy can do it.
But your defense, they look incredible better. Right now. Denver Broncos were 1 for 13 on third down 2 weeks ago. New England Patriots 0 for 11.
That's crazy.
You held the New England Patriots to zero third down conversions. Yeah. That's 1 for 24. And I don't know if you've seen the Buffalo Bill offense, but it's not exactly it's not the fastest show on turf.
Well, I think the interesting thing yesterday, and this might speak more to the Patriots than it does the Dolphins, but the old school mentality of how do you beat the Patriots? It was the thing set in stone by the Giants in the Super Bowls. You make sure you don't blitz. You have to get pressure with your front four.
Right.
You can't blitz Brady. The Dolphins are blitzing Brady all game last night without any repercussion to blitzing him. Now that could just be because he didn't have Gronk. You know, he doesn't have that reliable slot receiver he's always had either with Edelman out this season. But if you can now blitz Brady, that's a game changer. That adds a dimension for teams, especially like teams like Pittsburgh who, you know, live and die off the blitz.
It's too bad, though, they're without Shazier.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Their defense is pretty ravaged. But
who do you like in that game, Pittsburgh or New England?
I think I like New England.
And if you're Pittsburgh, it kind of sucked that
you wanted to be the team that gave
Pittsburgh,
them the loss.
I didn't want to watch that.
No.
Because it's good and bad. Now you're like, guys, if we beat them, we have home field for sure. But if I'm watching, I'm like, oh, God, man. Now they're just going to be more focused.
How
and more
often
pissed.
Do they lose
it's
two
like,
in a row?
Yeah.
When was the last time the Patriots lost two games in a row? I would guess over a decade
top of
ago.
My head. It can't be that much.
Let's say two games started by Tom Brady in a row.
I don't know, man. Like, yeah, you're right. Earlier in the year, they struggled.
Yeah.
Did they lose two in a row?
No, they lost the first game of the season, and that was
it. And then they bounced back. So, yeah, they lost to the Chiefs in the opener.
They bounced back the next week, and they won.
Yeah,
that
they beat up on New Orleans. Then they beat Houston. No, they haven't lost two in a row all year.
And I don't think I can't remember the last time they've lost two consecutive Tom Brady started games. I would guess like 2005, if I had to guess.
Yeah, well, you know what? I hope, like I said, I mean it. I hope that Rob Gronkowski gets hurt this week.
I do too.
I got no issue with Brady. Brady's fine. I got no beef with Brady.
I decided long ago that the guy I would be okay with was Belichick. I've come to terms with that. Bill Belichick's a really good coach.
And I'll accept that.
And as long as I believe that, I can downgrade how good his players are because he's that good a coach.
I saw a tweet from someone in Bill's Mafia. They tweeted at North Korea. They said, hey, Kim Jong-un, we don't want you to bomb America, but if you do, please bomb Foxborough.
Start with Foxborough.
And even me, I was like, I even tweeted to the guy, little harsh.
Yeah, that might have crossed the line.
When you're asking like a foreign enemy to bomb the city of Boston.
You're asking for the start of World War III so Tom Brady can't play another season and a half.
Hey, if it makes you feel any better, I hope that my own offensive coordinator, Rick Dennison, just sort of gets stuck in the snow next week. It doesn't make the game, too. That wouldn't be a bad thing. We got to get out of here. Check out Gary and on the rotation. I'll come back with my plays of the day.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
All right, it's time for our plays of the day. We're going lighter than normal this evening, but I think we're gonna do well. Let's beat the book tonight. Let's start off with the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden, L.A. Lakers versus the New York Knicks. Yeah, they're not great teams, but it still has that sort of, what's the word I'm looking for, panache? Give me the home team here with the New York Knicks. Lakers have won a couple of road games in a row. They got the game against the Cavaliers later in the week. I think the Knicks are in a good spot here tonight. We'll lay the 3 points with the Knicks. Speaking of being in a good spot, San Antonio's in a good spot here tonight. I generally don't like laying 6 points on the road, but keep your eye on Kawhi Leonard. He should be returning this evening. Dennis Smith Jr. injured for the Mavericks. We're delayed to six with a red-hot Spur team. 76ers and T-Wolves. I never know if Embiid is going to play or not, but let's go over 215 points. Michigan and Texas. I love this game to go over 129.5. I thought it was too low. The betting market agreed. It's up to 131 right now. Give me the over, Michigan and Texas, and we'll wrap it up with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Philadelphia Flyers have won three straight games. They were all on the road. Teams always lose the first game back after successful road trips. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.